Community Connection brought to you this morning by Jane Phillips Medical Center and Tulsa Bone and Joint of Bartlesville, working together to keep you on the move. Also by First Baptist Church and by your Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance agent, Sam Stoya. We'll talk suicide prevention and other related topics when we continue in just a moment.
Complete orthopedic care with a collaborative approach. Tulsa Bone and Joint and Jane Phillips Medical Center have teamed up to deliver a proactive approach for the prevention, care, and treatment of all bone and joint injuries. Depend on our compassionate surgeons and medical staff for all your family's orthopedic needs. Call today for your appointment, 918-214-8232. Tulsa Bone and Joint of Bartlesville and Jane Phillips Medical Center, working together to keep you on the move.
Well, the Washington County Suicide Prevention Coalition held a recent event, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, maybe a few other related topics as I welcome in. Let me get the title correctly here. Children's Administrator at Grand Lake Mental Health Center, but more importantly, Kimberly Hill. Nice to have you in here this morning, ma'am.
Great. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
Well, and we could always talk about children's programs. But I mean, suicide, as we look at that, I've learned recently that, you know, it is no respecter of persons, young, old, male, female, all economic, social groups. It doesn't matter. Everybody seems to be more or less at about the same risk.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. It doesn't matter. There is no discrimination when it comes to suicide, unfortunately. And it's, you know, it's a sad epidemic that's hit our community. And I'm glad that we're able to have events to raise awareness for that.
Yeah, and that's what I see the coalition doing. And I'm sure by raising awareness and some of the training programs that you've accomplished over the past several years, hopefully, and I know there is early evidence to indicate that the suicide rate is going down, not fast enough and not low enough yet, but apparently making some progress.
Yes, we appear to be. The statistics previously, when we started these ventures, you know, this was our fourth annual suicide prevention summit. When we started it, we were second as a leading cause of death, and that's continuing to decrease. Like you said, not fast enough. We, of course, want it to continue to decrease, and we would love to see it decrease more rapidly, but we're doing everything that we can to continue to raise awareness in our community.
The recent summit at the Bartlesville Community Center kind of divided into two basic parts, one for professionals like yourself, but it includes the entire medical community and others that have a some sort of professional training in other fields, or maybe even in suicide prevention, and just picking up some continuing education courses and learning more about what they can do.
Yes, you're correct. Usually every year we have two events, like you said. The beginning is for the professionals. Of course, everybody's still welcome to attend, but there is a cost to that event because we are providing continuing education units. And then the evening event that we do for the community is completely free and open to everyone. We try to push that out statewide, you know, not just for the local community, because we want to continue to spread the word everywhere, not just here.
Yeah, and with the events for the professionals first, you always have somebody of note, a speaker who really has something to say, and I assume afterwards the feedback that you got from the people who were there, something to the effect of, gee, I'm glad you were here this time.
Oh, yeah. This year we did something a little different. Yeah. Like you said, we usually have a keynote. One of the things that we changed this year is we had panelists. Yeah. We had about 12 to 13 members from the local community to come and sit on a panel. The panel was led by Mike Bros. He is the executive director and CEO of the Mental Health Association of Oklahoma. And what we did is we asked for individuals from the community to come. For example, we had the Washington County Commissioner, Mike Vivier was... I'm sorry, I probably butchered his name.
Real close, Bouvier, yeah.
Bouvier was there. We had Lisa Countryman. There were several folks that were able to sit on the panel and kind of talk to the professionals about what they're doing in the community. The local police department was there as well. And the people in the audience were able to ask questions. There were lots of things that happen in this community that people don't know about. And you don't realize how much you don't know until you're sitting in something like that. And you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't know they did that. Or I didn't know they did this. Oh, I can connect, you know, this family to that resource. So, you know, it was a really great panel, lots of positive feedback, mm-hmm. From the professionals that attended. And I think that they would like to see something like that again in the future. And then our keynote speaker was Dr. Sally Spencer Thomas. She led several, sessions for us, that day. And again, you know, the professionals in the community were very pleased. They really enjoyed her time with us. You know, one of the things at the end, which I thought was really phenomenal, is she did like a healing ceremony where we took some time to reflect and to really think about, you know, what's going on in our lives, you know, or going on in the lives of the people that we interact with, and how can we help them, and where are we at in that healing process, and how can we get people to that healing process. And she just kind of led something where, you know, we were able to close our eyes and, you know, picture, you know, what it's like to be in darkness, which is what people who are feeling those thoughts of suicide feel like. Mm-hmm. But then there is light. There is light at the end of the tunnel. And, you know, there is support. We just got to get you connected to those supports. So it was a really, really great, awareness summit this year. And so we really enjoyed it.
Is it a fair statement to say that the people, the professionals that you were talking to during that session, particularly are the what most people would consider the likely candidates to be that light in at the end of somebody's tunnel?
Yes, I think so. You know, sometimes whenever we hold these events, we feel like we're kind of preaching to the choir. You know, the people that are at these events are the people that, you know, are immersed in treatment, you know, or dealing with these things every day, whether that be as a professional or a family member, et cetera. And so our hope is that as we continue to do these things and continue to hold these events, we reach more and more people. Like we were saying earlier, you know, there is no discrimination. This can impact anyone and everyone.
Yeah, and now I'm just curious, what members of the community, what professions, I'll say, do you feel you were lacking? You know, were there enough representation from, and I'm just pulling this out of the air, the educational mm-hmm. community, the medical treatment community, the law enforcement community? You know, who would you have liked to see more of at the summit?
I will say this, because we did the panel this year, I think we reached out to more folks, had a broader range than we've ever had before. So all those areas you just mentioned, education, you know, the police department, the medical field, they were all there this year, which was amazing. I think in previous years, I might have said some of those were lacking, mm-hmm. But not this year, which was great.
Okay. Well, it sounds like we'll just ring this one up as a success. And I don't know if you want to just try to run this through the Ditto machine next year. All that stuff smells good. But or did it go back to something that you've been doing, because those were also successful mm-hmm. events. But whatever you got planned for next year, you know, got to build on this one somewhere.
Yeah. Well, we'll be really excited. Like I said, the folks in the audience really enjoyed the panelists. I'm assuming that we're going to bring that back. I don't know. but we're always, looking for new things to bring to the community, better ways to raise awareness, just to make sure the community knows what's going on. Yeah. And there's not just a blind eye to those things, because it is affecting our community.
You said that the members of the community, the non-professionals, were welcome at that session, although it wasn't for them per se. Did you have some of the members of the the civilian community, so to speak, at that too?
Oh yes, absolutely. Yeah. We did have we had some volunteers, but then we also had folks who are just members of the community or maybe volunteering for different groups that were in attendance. We usually every year, if you can't afford it, like this year it was I believe $65.
Sounds
if you can't
right.
afford it, if you talk to us, we'll find you a scholarship. We'll find you a way to attend. We'll make sure that you can be there.
Well, yeah, that's neat that you're able to work things out for folks.
Absolutely.
We're talking a Suicide Prevention Coalition, specifically the summit that was held recently, building on the work over the last several years. And we will continue with the Community Connection coming up in just a moment.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
As life expectancies grow in the U.S., the potential need for long-term care grows as well. A Northwestern Long-Term Care Insurance Company policy can help you pay for that care. Flexible coverage can include extended care in your own home as well as in a facility. To learn more, call Sam Stoya at 336-5717. That's Sam Stoya at 336-5717. Sam Stoya is licensed to sell long-term care insurance for the Northwestern Long-Term Care Insurance Company, a subsidiary of the Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, regarding policy form number RSLTC 1101.
Continuing our time this morning with Kimberly Hill, talking about the recent Suicide Prevention Coalition hosted by the Washington County Suicide Prevention Coalition. Kimberly, about how wide an area of folks, either for the daytime or the evening session, did you drive? I'm sure it was more than just Washington County. You had people from all over.
I believe that we had some folks come in from the Tulsa area. We do, like I said earlier, we do try to kind of push that information out across the state. And so we're going to continue to try to do that and try to continue to reach more avenues to where we can push that information out. And the quicker, the better. You know, if folks have time, especially for the professionals, they look for those continuing education units. And mm-hmm. we know round about, you know, how often or when they're really needing those. You know, some folks do things kind of last minute. You're like, oh, my goodness, I got to get this in. So we really want to work on making sure we continue to push that out, and the sooner the better, like I said, so people can kind of plan to attend these events.
Yeah, I think it's those professions, you see all types of personalities, the ones that, you know, by the time they actually need to turn those numbers in, they've got three times the minimum requirement, and there are others that, you know, I got to get this done, I need to recertify tomorrow.
Yep,
you know?
Yep, pretty much.
Let's talk about the other session, the ones that the community actually was welcome. Those of us that are involved in every other profession other than the healthcare and help field, that brings in people, I'm sure, who were touched by a family member's suicide or threat of suicide, and maybe even some that found themselves in that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that we did this year is we also had some personal reflections. So there was a woman by the name of Denise Ahrens. I'm probably butchering her last name, but she was able to share a great story about just her personal journey. That was also during the daytime and in the evening. So during the community event, we had a lot of the same information. Mm-hmm. We didn't have the panelists, but we had information from Melissa Jenkins on the opiate epidemic and the link to suicide. Mm-hmm. And so those are things that sometimes our community is scared to talk about. And so what a great way to really get that information out there. So that information was not only presented to the professionals, but it was also presented in the evening to the community. So we were able to take a lot of the things that we were pushing out to the professionals and, you know, kind of change up how we were communicating that in basically person-friendly language. So we're not utilizing terms that people are going, what does that mean? Yeah. And it's terms that everybody understands. And so we were able to, you know, link that in the evening session as well.
Yeah, and of course, opiates, well, they've always been a problem, but that problem number-wise has grown geometrically over the last several years. And that discussion is being held in so many different fields. I was recently at Crime Stoppers USA annual training in Albuquerque, and the topic was there as well, even though as the nonprofit organizations are there as an aid to law enforcement, they also see it as part of a problem in their larger communities. So not just here.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. What's great is that Washington County is doing something about that. The Washington County Wellness Initiative was able to obtain a grant through Cherokee Nation where we're able to kind of focus on that epidemic and really address the issues, kind of see where we're at as a community, where we're at. You know, they facilitated an assessment to kind of see what our readiness was to start working on this. So there's a lot of information that's being pushed out and getting ready to be pushed out to really inform people about what's going on and then start talking about preventative measures and what we can do.
Well, and also I think, and maybe you're also touching it from this side, but also talking to physicians as far as the quantity that they prescribe, when they prescribe, let's say right after surgery, you know, does the patient really need 48 or would 18 be sufficient and that mm-hmm. sort of thing.
Yep, absolutely. And what's really great is as technology advances, so does our medical system and being able to have like electronic medical records where you know if a patient is seeking out, you know, pain meds elsewhere.
Nobody would shop that around.
Well, no. but it's you know, technology is amazing. And so being able to connect that and really make sure that we're focusing on patient care and really, like you said, prescribing the right amount and, you know, doing the right things. And if we're aware that, you know, this individual is getting that type of medication somewhere else, then, you know, we can intercede and prevent something scary from happening in their future.
Yeah, that's a major thing. And of course, doesn't have to lead to suicide. It's just an accompanying situation that can run alongside it.
Yes.
Other things that were in the community discussion. This one, I think, impacts probably more people than even the one you had for the professionals, because it's the people that are just being introduced to the topic frequently. So, a lot of people were there, I'm sure.
Yes.
Same sort of thing. Did you find the success stories, the hallway discussions as people were leaving, that you overheard people saying, gee, I didn't know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Every year, and which is great. We want to continue to reach more and more people. When you're immersed in this stuff every day like I am, you don't realize what people don't know. It's almost become, when you're in the field, it becomes like common knowledge to you. But we have to continue to reach out and say the same things over and over again, because we never know what new person might be hearing this information. I'm probably one of the worst when I sit in meetings and say, same old, things are, going this way.
Sure is for you. You said it 362 days ago.
Right. But you can't do that. And events like this help me realize that. You've got to make sure that you continue to share the information, even if it's the millionth time you've done it. There might be someone out there who hasn't heard it yet, and so you need to be just as informative to that person as you were the 356th person that you told it to.
Even though you're having a bad day, you can't feel sorry about telling the basics, the 1-2-3s, that back to, I never heard this before.
Right. No. Absolutely.
Getting people involved in the Suicide Prevention Coalition. You meet regularly, but sometimes it's kind of like, gee, I don't know how to get a hold of these people. So let's just start with that. How does somebody either just ask for more information?
Sure, absolutely. Well, I will tell you this. We do meet on the second Thursday of every month from 11:30 to 1. Mm-hmm. This month it's actually this Thursday, so October 13th, we're going to be meeting at the Bartlesville Library. So please, come. It's open to everyone who wants to attend and wants to get involved. We do have a new chair. Her name is Amber Thompson. How you can reach her is through Grand Lake Mental Health Center. She also works at the agency, so you can email her at athompson@glmhc.net.
Okay, that's once you figure out the initials, it's pretty easy.
Yep.
Now, if I can just get them in the right order. There is no obligation. If you show up at a meeting, you're not going to get a phone call, hey, you missed the last meeting, we'd sure like to see you back.
No, not at all.
Well, you might, but...
There's no obligation. Again, it's open to anyone and everyone who wants to attend and who wants to get involved. Your level of involvement is completely up to you. Our big event every year is the summit. It happens every year in September, on September 9th. If you want to be just involved in that, we have committees that go on throughout the year, and you can, be involved that way. If you just want to attend the meetings, you can be involved that way. If you want to learn how to be a trainer, mm-hmm. you can be involved that way. There's a ton of different ways that you can be involved, and it's completely up to you how much you want to do.
Well, and I think even for the person who has been to what I'm going to call a few classes, and sometimes there's almost nothing more dangerous than the person who's had a little bit of training, but... do you find yourself and all of a sudden suspecting every conversation somebody has, are they really contemplating it? And they could be. And that's when you need more training.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that we provide training in is QPR. That stands for Question, Persuade, Refer. And those are trainings here in the community that we provide to local businesses. To schools, we've gone out to schools before and talked to teachers. We've talked to students and to be able to provide them with information on how they could possibly save a life. The question is, you're going to question the person about suicide. It's okay to ask the question. It's okay to ask, are you thinking about suicide? There is a lot of, stigma around that, or, mm-hmm. Negative connotation. No, you don't want to ask the question. You don't want to put that in their heads. That's a myth. It's okay to ask the question. And in fact, the folks that you asked the question to, they're relieved. They're relieved that somebody noticed that something was going on and that you asked the question. The next thing you're going to do is persuade. You're going to persuade them to get some help. One of the things that we do in this training is, give you some information so that you feel comfortable doing that. Convincing that person to get some help, because you're going to next refer the R. You're going to refer them to that help. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have all the answers when you're helping someone. All you have to do is be able to persuade them to get the help and then connect them to someone who has that information.
Okay. And then there are numerous, probably more than I know, sources for that help in the community, because there are so many different paths to some help.
Right, absolutely. One of the things I want to mention real quick is if you're interested in QPR, whether that's receiving the training or being someone who provides the training, you can contact 918-876-3056.
One more time on that, because I'm sure somebody was driving down the road.
Yep, absolutely. 918-876-3056. And we can provide you with information on either how to get the training wherever you're at or train you to be a trainer.
And the bottom line is one other phone number that I think is important that we at least mention. It's a nationwide reporting number, and somebody's there 24/7, I think, to talk to you.
Yes, absolutely. That number it's a hotline, like you said, and it's available 24/7. It's 1-800-273-TALK. So that's 1-800-273-8255.
Okay, well, if you need to find out more information, or we just got some process running in the back of your mind, in 3 days, 5 days, 10 days from now, you need to find out more, call up the folks at Crandall Lake Mental Health. They can help you. Better yet, Thursday at the library. What time again?
From 11:30 to 1.
11:30 to 1 at the library. News on the way next from the Oklahoma News Network.
ONN News, I'm Randy Renner.